When I was a university student at Chico State, my major was how to merge with nature. And there wasn't a real course of study because it was the first ever major in that field. And I had to create my own courses, and then I took other courses. And one course that I took was mammalogy. It was a field course. And we went on our first field trip, and we went out near Mount Lassen, and I just became a vegetarian. And the old professor, a nice gentleman, very kind, he handed each one of us a shotgun. And we were to go out and shoot these little squirrels and chipmunks and in order to study their skeletons and reproductive systems and stuff. And my friend and I, he was a vegetarian, we sort of looked at each other. And then we walked down the forest and just started shooting into the air. But after that, I stopped taking that course, and and I started to investigate another more subtle science, and I took up the science of meditation, the science of consciousness. And Master said that the science, worldly science, it's only discovered 1/1,000,000th of the nature of reality and of all things. That much and no more. And Master said that we are blind as a bat because we're looking through two eyes and we see only matter. I was reading in the autobiography of a yogi where Sri Yukteswar, he said that the astral worlds are 100 times more bigger than the physical cosmos. I was last spring at Encinitas, and just Master's presence there, and then his ashram, hermitage right along the bluff, and the vast blue sky, and the endless ocean. You really had a sense that how big the world of spirit is compared to the world of matter. And, you know, the Swami, well, Master, he's told us many things to do. One of the things he's told us is to just always look into the spiritual eye. And why does he say that? The spiritual eye is a reflection of the inner spine. And the meditator, if we keep looking into that, we start to subtly get a sense of the astral world. And then eventually maybe the causal world. And then there's the star. And there's just what we have in the astral world, there's a freedom from body consciousness. And in the causal world, just this great expansiveness. And the ego is just very, very tiny. And then we can just merge in the inner light of the star. Well, this is where we're trying to go in meditation. And, we're trying to slow that motion of self-affirmation down so that we're sensitive enough where we can just experience those inner realities. And as we get more and more in touch with the inner realities of the spirit, then the more grosser realities of life can't touch us. I had a very interesting symbolic experience of this when Anandi and I, we took our first trip to Hawaii some years ago. And we were on Kauai, and we went to a beach we heard of from some locals called Secret Beach. And so we were there, and the waves coming in were quite high, 10 to 12 feet coming in, and they were crashing on the shore. And I wanted to go out in the ocean, but I grew up in the Sacramento Valley, far from the ocean. And so it looked pretty impossible to get through these high waves out there, but I saw some of the local swimmers out beyond those crashing waves just enjoying the cool placid water and just talking in a group, and it was just looked so enjoyable to be out there, but I didn't know how I could. And I tried, and the waves just crashed me down the ground, and I came out like a drowned rat, and I was standing looking again, and Swami said that no one would seek God unless we had the examples of the avatars, because it would just seem too impossible. But beyond the waves, I could see the local swimmers. So I knew it was possible. I just didn't know how. And then one of the local swimmers came up, and he told me the secret, how I could get through the waves. Well, he said, what you do is you swim along, and then as the wave approaches you, then you just dive underneath it and then let it pass over and then swim again. And then when the next one comes, swim under and put your arms in front of your face, because if the wave pushes you down the ground, you won't hurt your head. So I tried it and it worked. And only, you know, it was trial and error, but I got through the waves, and much better than on my own without any kind of guidance. And then I was able to enjoy just the ocean beyond the waves. And I was thinking, you know, this is the guru sees us with a desire of our heart. We want to be in the ocean of spirit, don't we? And we may even try to get there. And he probably has to see us trying to get there. And we aren't doing a very good job, but we're trying our best. And so then he gives us a technique. And he teaches us how to dive deep in that technique and find a sense of greater and greater inner freedom and not be ruled by everything that comes on a superficial level, on the surface level of life. If we get caught in their own reality, it can be a cruel world, can't it? But we can find a place of freedom where we aren't limited by the storms of life. And that is by going deeper into our greater consciousness and have a real sense of that. I shared during the purification ceremony about a friend that I met in Colorado. She had this serious illness, and she went into a coma for 8 days. And when she came out of the coma, the first thing she said to her mother, who had been there the whole time, was, I'm no longer Catholic, because I saw the inner light. And there was just no distinction of anything, either this, that, or anything. It was just everything was the light. And she's had to go into the hospital many times, but she knows that she's that light. And everybody else is nervous, the doctors, parents, family, but she's just calm as she goes through because she's had that experience of the inner light, and she knows that that's her reality. Paramahansa Yogananda demonstrated how we could do this. It was so helpful to have his example and Swami Kriyananda's example to just see it all played out so that we know that we can do this. We have to just reach for it. But without that example, we never really could. But they were moving the wishing well at Mount Washington, and it was 1,000 pounds. And it fell on Yogananda's foot, and it just crushed the foot. And Yogananda was fine. And then he said, I'm going to show you what happens when I, because a master's energy is always centered at the spiritual eye. And so I'm going to show you what happens when I bring my consciousness into the body. And then immediately his body was racked with pain. And then he said, I'm going to bring it up to the spiritual eye. And then just all trace of pain was gone. And he was able to walk normal. And then he demonstrated several more times in case nobody got the point. And, you know, yoga says to be a cause, not an effect. And with the whole practice of yoga, what we can do is we can transcend lower reality. And meditation changes our conscious awareness from matter consciousness to spiritual consciousness. Every time we meditate, we're withdrawing into ourselves, into the divinity within ourselves. And it's something that we can do and find inner freedom. And if we do it on a regular basis, then when challenging things come to us in life, well, know that we have a spine, a center of divinity that we can retreat into. And you know, of course, we want to be there all the time because that's where God is. That's where our soul nature is and our soul freedom and the fulfillment of our soul's quest over 5 million lifetimes of just trying to come to God. So, of course, for that bliss, but when we develop through practices of Kriya Yoga, centering our energy in the spine with Hong Sa practice, then we can always go there. I was on tour in New Jersey, and I was going to be giving a program, and I was staying with the host, who was a superintendent of a small school district. And we were sitting in his school office. It was Sunday morning. Nobody was around, very quiet. And he told me a story. He said, last week, I had a very interesting experience. I had had to suspend the wrestling coach at our high school because he was verbally abusing the students. And I just we just couldn't have that. And so when I did, he was a state champion at our school in wrestling, and he became very angry. And all the relatives, because they all live around here, they became extremely angry too. And so he received, my friend Thomas, he received threatening phone calls and threatening violence to him. And he got many calls. And so he said, well, I was there Sunday morning, and all of a sudden I saw four cars come racing into the parking lot, all together right up to the front of my building. Well, I knew who they were, and they were big. So I called... So I called my daughter and said, call school security, and then hang up. And I had about 20 seconds before they stormed into my room. Well, my friend Thomas, as I was talking about regular meditation, he also regularly meditated. And so quickly, he went into his spine. And they burst into the door, and they were big guys. And they were trying to verbally intimidate him and yelling at him and shouting at him, trying to threaten him. Well, they were threatening him. And he was just very calm in his spine the whole time. And at a certain point, their threats wound down. And these were people that really respected strength. Thomas was showing a level of strength that... They could recognize, they didn't understand, but they could recognize. And so they became quiet. And in that moment, Thomas was able to say why he did what he had to do, and that he hoped that the suspended wrestling coach could get his act together, and then because he would love to have him back when that was the case. And the family all helped their nephew, the wrestling coach, to get his act together, and it came back, and everything was fine. And Swami Kriyananda says that centered energy is stronger than scattered energy. It's more magnetic. And that actually, outer events adjust to our inner control, and that we can actually change our destiny through bringing our energy deeper into the spine, because a higher reality will always influence a lower reality. And so this is something that, Lahiri Mahashai said in the autobiography of a yogi, that we put nature on a witness box, and we're always trying to control nature. But he said that when the soul gets in touch with a higher power, nature willingly obeys. And I mean, that's the source of all the miracles in life. Lahiri said that in the future we'll find that they aren't miracles, it's just science, the science of consciousness. And so it's with meditation where we think, well, gee, I don't see the spiritual eye, I don't hear the inner sounds, or I don't this, or I don't that. But every attempt to bring our energy centered in that spine means is that we're drawing from outward reality into our greater inner reality. There was a saint who said that you could think of God as a painting, and the canvas is real. And then on the painting, there might be a tiger, there might be a knife, there might be a fire. Well, those are all illusionary, because the painted image of the tiger on the painting can't bite you. The fire can't burn you. And the knife can't stab you. Well, as we go deeper and deeper into meditation, we realize that our inner reality is not anything on the outward surface. Swami Kriyananda says that the first time he heard the cosmic vibration, he said that the whole world could burn up and that would be fine. He knew it wouldn't touch him because he just felt so anchored in the divine reality of God. Well, this is where we want to find as yogis, and this is something that we wouldn't be on this path unless we had a very, very strong memory that this reality is true. And this is a reality that we have found demonstrated in our lives over and over again. And there's the grace of the Guru guiding us through every experience. I have a brother who is very, very touchy and has a lot of opinions about everything. And I just realized that, you know, when you're living really on life's surface, you know, everything, you're really in duality, and there's always an opposite and always an opposition. And your opinion is very, very important. It's very, very important to express. But it just doesn't pay to go there, does it? In meditation, you know, we find a place of freedom where we aren't in relation to anything else. I don't know if we could really say that, but we're wholly other in the sense of that we're just not involved. There was an interesting experience that a small community had. I was giving a workshop there, and they told me about what had happened. It was in Ohio, and there were 7 Ku Klux Klan members that were going to plan a march through the small town. Well, the citizens of the town and many of the organizations, they were just so insulted that this would happen in their town. So they organized a great big anti-demonstration where they would come and they could yell at everybody and the Ku Klux members and just have a really gay old time. But you know, if you get in a mud fight, you're going to get mud on you. One of the more, I guess you'd have to say, more thoughtful citizens said, well, what if we decided to have a celebration of community in our local park, which is a couple miles away? So the whole town and surrounding towns, they all came to that park, and they had a great, loving celebration of community. It was very, very joyful. And during the time of the march, well, the 7 Ku Klux Klan members got on their outfits, and then they walked through. And I actually was driving through that town when I was hearing this story on an early Sunday morning before people are awake, up and at it. And so it was just like a ghost town. Well, that's how it was for these Ku Klux Klan members. There was just no one in sight. There might have been a cat or two, but that was it. And they walked through, no one to be against them, and they just sheepishly got in their cars and drove home, and they were out of the community's life. Well, if we don't go immerse ourselves in Maya and trying to get Maya just right, it's much, much easier just to transcend it. And that's what meditation does. I'd like to, both Jyotish and Devi spoke so beautifully yesterday and about how the heart energy how that's really the controlling factor, and that when we can have our energy always withdrawn and not going out, that's when we have God. But when we have our emotions, sometimes it's hard to fight through our emotions. And that's what's so beautiful about the science of meditation. It has to do with the life force. You draw in the life force, your attention goes with the life force. And so it's a way of working with your energy and not being at the mercy of your energy. Ramakrishna, he talked about that we need to follow the trail to Om to find Brahma. Well, everything is vibration, isn't it? Everything is in movement, and we keep that movement going through self-affirmation of the ego. And so every spiritual practice that we do is to try to calm that movement, still that movement. And, where if we do Hong Sa, we have the dual twofold mantra, Hong and Sa. As we go deeper into it, it turns into the one mantra, Om. As we do Kriya Yoga, we're doing Kriya in the outer nerve channels, and then we're trying to bring it into Sushumna, where Om is experienced. When Ramakrishna was talking about following the trail of Om, he was talking about pulling back from more material, grosser reality to the pristine sound of Om. And then Swami said to achieve the actionless state, we just can't deny movement. We have to understand movement at its very depths and realize that its roots lie in stillness. And so I'd like to read this Follow the Trail of Om meditation to you. And it's an imagery, and it has a lot of these points, and to make it more experiential for you. So why don't you sit upright? Imagine you are standing in a heavily wooded forest. You hear the sounds of busy forest animals all around you. You can also hear a very faint roar. You cannot see the ocean and have no idea how far away it is, but you know that where there is the roar, there must be the ocean. With loving expectation, you follow the sound of the ocean, listening intently along the way, making sure that the ocean's roar is becoming stronger and stronger in your ears. After walking for some time, you see a dazzling blue sky between the trees on the ridge above you. You must be getting close. As you crest the ridge, you hear the mighty rumble of the ocean. Low before you are luminous waves crashing along the shore. The roar of the waves thrills every cell in your being. Your soul leaps blissfully out of your body and expands to unite with the surf, birds, rocks, and sand. You joyfully delight in and fly with the soaring seagulls. You are in everything you see. You are blooming in the flowers, scuttling across the sand, and surging with the waves. Your soul delights in the blissful hum that emanates from every atom in creation. Sensing that there is more to experience, you raise your eyes beyond the crashing waves and their thunderous roar. In the silent stillness, you are drawn into the vast blue ocean of spirit, calm and serene. like a raindrop splashing on a lake, you quickly melt into the infinite sea. Om